I once said to Srila Gurudev in one of the final times, and we can say, he, even in his final days, he maintained his countenance, his sense of humor, and just surprisingly good-natured in the midst of all of that. But one of his servitors was Chinmoy Dave. We all know, all the devotees love him very much and appreciate him. And he was one of these devotees where all over the world, everyone's trying to get him to stay in their mat because he's such a, and Guru Maharaj's words, a contributing unit, not an absorbing unit. Guru Maharaj would say that. Be a contributing unit, not an absorbing unit. Absorbing means, but I don't know how this translates in Chinese, but there's a popular saying of New Age people in America, they call people who take all your, they call them chi suckers. They suck all your chi out. Means like chi here, who knows what it means? You know, we're going to tell Chinese people what chi means. We're not going to do that. But here it means like, the Sanskrit equivalent is like pran, which means your life force, your vitality, right? So Guru Maharaj, in the world of exploitation, we all conceive ourselves as absorbing units, how much we can take in, how much we can acquire, control, and consume. But Guru Maharaj would say, no, be a dedicating unit, right? Giving, right? How important is giving? He would quote this Bengali saying, like, if there's nothing else to give, then give ashes, because in Indian culture, like if you, you know, sometimes they use ashes to clean things. Do they do that in China? Sometimes, like ashes from a fire can be used to clean a brass pot or something. There's a level, like they have some value. So obviously now it's the least valuable thing. But if you'd go to some place and ask for, like, can you give anything? They're not like, some ashes, and oh, well, that we can give. Yeah. So Guru Maharaj was making the point, even if it's giving ashes, train your hand to give, learn to give, to be a contributing, a dedicating unit, not a taking, an absorbing unit. Right? Like sometimes parents, if they see in little children, we have some of these tendencies in an innate way, like this whole thing, like little kids, they look so cute, and but you know already they're little monsters, you know? Like they've already got this like certain natures, tendencies, whatever. The parents can see, they're like 2 years old and they're already showing certain things. So, but then sometimes they'll surprise the parent. They see when they're interacting with other children, and one of the children will be generous and think of another child, no, we should give something, you know. And then the parents will say, oh, he has a giving nature. They're not selfish. Because there's that one period where you go up to kid, anything you deal with them, they go, mine! And you go, no, no, that's mine. No, mine! You know, they learn that word. At least Western children do that all the time. Mine! They don't know much, but they know that it belongs to them. So that possessive, selfish kind of thing, right? Which we can sometimes say, you're being childish. Like from a child, it's tolerable up to a point. But when they observe the opposite, where some child is kind to another child, is considerate, generous, then the parents or the guardians, they're very happy. And they think, oh, this tendency, this giving, dedicating tendency is a good thing, and it will grow, develop, and achieve a certain magnitude later. So they're thinking, oh, they've got a bright future ahead of them, a good life. So similarly, when our Guru Varga, our guardians, the Vaishnavas, when they see any small tendency within us to not be selfish, but to share, particularly to extend Krishna consciousness to others, to serve others, that tendency, they're very happy to see that, because they know in this case, not that it merely leads to a healthy, you know, prosperous adult life, but they know that this is a spiritual tendency. So sometimes, Yudhamanyu Prabhu knows this especially, we would hear from Srila Gurudev or Srila Guru Maharaj, sometimes some extreme praise. And to the point, in my case, where it sometimes made me uncomfortable, because I would think, I know what I'm really like, and you're saying these high things and wonderful things, and I don't want to be a hypocrite about it. So once I said to Gurudev, who had done something like this, I said, Mara, and when I think about this in the past, he's so tolerant, because I more or less said to him, like, could you tone it down a little bit? Like, I know you've got to praise, but could it not be so? It can just bring it down, you know. And Gurudev was so hurt when he was like, you think I don't mean it? You think I'm flattering you? And he was hurt, and he said, I'm practicing my religion. And he said, I believe in this. I believe in, you know, your future potential. I'm not just flattering you. He said that, I'm practicing my religion. This is from my heart. And then I felt really bad. But he, as usual, in a very affectionate, loving way, smoothed everything out. But then I felt bad for having, in such a flip way, dealt with his expressed sentiments. And then I went to my room and I was thinking, but what is the truth here? What is it? Guru Maharaj is saying this, he's saying that, and I know what I'm like. And any devotee, because I'm just using, this is my own experience, but anybody could say something like this. Right? And then, so I had this little inner dialogue going back and forth, and then I thought, okay, you know what you're like from your side, but they're talking in this other way. Who do you believe in? Whose judgment do you trust? Your judgment? If you're all the things you think and say you are, that means you're unreliable. Even your own assessment of yourself is unreliable. That much you can know. You can say, you know what? When all is said and done, what I can understand about myself, I need to take guidance from a superior, those in a superior position. We say sadhu, shastra, guru, Vaishnav, right? Revealed truth and the interpreters of revealed truth, scriptures and living scriptures. Guru Maharaj is told, saints, devotees, they are living scriptures. He once said, Ramakrishna said about the almanac, you can read in the almanac and it says, it's going to rain at this time, like we're hearing here in Chiang Mai, that soon it will rain. We can't wait. It rained the other day, but they're saying, soon it will rain, and all this pollution that's in the air from the burning rice fields and all that, you know, we're going to get some relief, right? This is what they say in the news. But what Guru Maharaj quoted Ramakrishna saying, the almanac talks about rain and all these things for like crops, you're saying like growing tomatoes and all that. He said, but if you won't get a drop of water out of the almanac. It's going to tell you when you're not going to get any water from there. So he said, and this, you know, this has to be delicately understood. He said, the comparison he was giving here is that so many things are said in the scriptures, but that's not where you're going to get that substance. Where you're going to get that actual nectarine substance, if we want to follow the rain parallel, You're going to give it from the living scripture, from the Vaishnava, from the devotee. That's where it's going to become palpable. It's going to feel like it's real. You're going to taste something. You're going to feel something. Something's good. You're going to imbibe something and be imbued with something. Right? Majjita madgata prana boreantas parasparam. Katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. It's mentioned in one of the nutshell slokas of Bhagavad Gita that where it says devotees nourish one another by meeting and discussing Krishna. It said, how nourishing? Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Just like eating or drinking. The way you eat, you share food and you drink some nectarine substance, you share these topics, you're actually drinking some mystical kind of nectar that's nourishing your soul. Tushanti. Ramanti cha. And the enjoyment of whatever we conceive of as enjoyable, it can be that enjoyable and to the extreme. So where do you get that though? From the devotees. I found this extraordinary passage in Srila Prabhupada's commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam once. And it just, it never left me because it was so, the sloka was striking, as was the explanation. And it said, when the pure devotees speak about Krishna, when they engage in Krishna Katha or Hari Katha, it said, their voice becomes saturated with the saffron mercy particles that are decorating the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? Sometimes when Srila Gurudev would speak, his voice sounded like this liquid nectarine substance. Just by hearing it, even if you didn't totally follow everything that was being said, you were being nectarized in the process. So, and there I found this sloka. It said, yes, because of their intense meditation and absorption in the lotus feet of Krishna, when they speak the glories of Krishna, some of the saffron mercy particles, right? Inconceivable. Saffron mercy particles covering the lotus feet of Krishna mix with the voice of the pure devotee. And when you hear that, the saffron mercy particles enter your ear through the ear canal and flood the heart with some merciful nectarine substance. Right? So Srila Guru Maharaj said, we really get this through association, coming in connection with devotees, becomes real, palpable, relevant. Right. So I said to Srila Gurudev, looking at all these servitors engaged in his service and knowing that Chinmoy Dev was, he was like the leader of the servitors at that time. And Gurudev's kind of in a mystically delightful mood. I said, I wanted to praise Chinmoy Dev, but praise everyone. Thank you. And I said, all of your veranda servitors are Chinmoy. And he just, a huge smile went on Gurudev, because somehow by his grace, that was the right thing. I wanted to say, I want to praise him, but how can I praise him? This is a Govinda Maharaj kind of thing. That he wants you to go that far. So I'm saying, how can I praise him and praise everyone at the same time? That's when he does some poetry or something, it's always multi-level, multi-dimensional. Sometimes people, they're not even, it can go both, they're going, was that a glorification or did he just say, you know, I can't do that. But in this, by his grace, in this point, I said, I want to glorify Chinmoy Dev, but there's so many others here. I said, all your veranda servitors are Chinmoy. And Mara was like, yes. And was like, shh. This huge lotus smile on his face. And for the sake of, you know, chinmoy means not only conscious and spiritually conscious, but enriched with dedicating tendency. And that was what I was talking about originally. Be groomers, be a contributing unit, a dedicating unit, dedicate. Don't absorb, exploit, but dedicate. We're like the Chatuk birds waiting for rain. So, any questions from anyone about anything? Anyone online? Oh, okay. On any subject. Now we're back to the question and answers. Amiya Sindhu, anything on your list?
Yes, something is there, but I was thinking so many devotees maybe. Mm-hmm. And what if sometimes in the flow of service you don't have time and you cannot control yourself and you feel like you are not pure and like your consciousness is not pure, and should we still be giving or
I'm thinking of some story Srila Charjamar's told that he heard from Gurudev where he said the offering was behind schedule. And with Aranyamars doing the brahminical, we've got to do this type, you know, procedures. And he said, Guru Mahārāj got a little upset, because it's like, we can say it's delaying lunch, but, you know, let's just be practical. And they're not being practical. And he said, Guru Mahārāj came downstairs, grabbed some flowers, and like, you know, said some prayer. I mean, knowing Guru Mahārāj, it wasn't like that. It was like, but, you know, just like grab some flowers, Hare Krishna, to the flower, done. What is this? You know, like, we're waiting for the a mantri means an advisor, the archak to come in, and we have to now chant the following 75 prayers. No. He said, you take the flowers, but you're done. Hare Krishna. Right? Our aspiration is Ragamarg. And not to make light of that, we don't think that we're Ragamarg, but we think our Guru Varga, that they're Ragamargis, right? But nonetheless, like Prabhupada said in the beginning when he brought Krishna consciousness to America, when day by day, every time they find out some like new rule, right? You know, like once Tamal Krishna Maharaj made a joke about, he said, going to our temples at a particular point in history, it was like, welcome to the house of rituals. You know, because, no, your feet can't point that way. You know, you can't do that. Whoa, no, right hand, not left hand. You know, whoa, hold on a second. You know, and we'd like, how are we supposed to spread Krishna consciousness if all we're ever saying is no? Like there's some people in America sometimes called the party of no. And don't write me some email about that, okay? Right, but it's just a joke. We're among friends here, right? We don't want to become the party of no, the movement of no, the mission of no, right? So we're supposed to be Om, the big yes, what your heart is searching for exists, but make sure your feet are pointing in the right direction. And then again, there's all these things, and it's true. Like, we're talking about India, but I know in China, there must be, you've been around forever, right? The Chinese people have been around forever. You got a whole bunch of social things, the right way, the wrong way, it's just, everyone has their version of that in the world, but within Krishna consciousness, there's also some of these things. Sometimes it seems like there's a lot. But so in the beginning, prefacing this, when I'd hear about all these things, it took me many, many years, maybe 30 years, to realize what, because I also thought, having come previously from the background where I thought they're doing no one knows why they do these rituals. It's all meaningless. It's just mindless. Mindless participation. Right? And I thought, but what about all these things? But then when I would hear different explanations of Srila Guru Maharaj, quoting Srila Saraswati Thakur and the scriptures in other places, I would realize, oh, if you really trace this back, it has some place in reality. It's not just some meaningless, mindless, ritualistic performance of something. There's some reason for it in the background. But it is possible it's gone so far in the background that no one knows. And we reach a situation where you want to say, look, we were talking about this before. If you do this, it's good for you. It'll be bring auspiciousness and prosperity to your life. So this is what we do, without getting into all the details. But anyway, so in the beginning of Prabhupada bringing Krishna consciousness to America, he's having to tell them, you do it like this, you don't do it like that. Here's how you make an offering. This is clean. This is considered unclean. All these things. And when someone said, like, Prabhupada, how many rules and regulations are there? Right? Because sometimes they talk about 4, sometimes they talk about 64. He said, there are thousands. He said, and if I told you all of them, you would faint. Right? He said, but there's this one maxim. If you learn this, then you'll be okay. So what's the one thing you need to know? He said, and it's a famous, what is it? Smartavyam satatam Vishnur, Vishnur smartavyam na jatuchet, something like that. Forgive me for those who know the sloka. I know I didn't quote it properly, but it's a lot. Smartavyam satatam Vishnur, that part is right. And so here it is, and it's very beautiful. And the way it is rendered is, there's this one rule and regulation you need to know. One. What is it? Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. That's the one. And we think, well, that's really simplistic, or how can that? No, and the way to understand it is, all these other rules and regulations or anything you might be introduced to or can come in connection with, they're only meaningful as much as they bring about remembrance of Krishna, right? And dispel forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the purpose of all of this. So, oh, I wanted to say something more about what I said previously about Gurudev and the praise of Guru. So when I sat there in the room, I thought, who do you have faith in? You have faith. You have your own assessment of who you are, and they're telling you you have another potential, another prospect. Guru, Vaishnav, they're saying you have another potential identity. And you go, but yeah, but I know that I'm like this and I'm like that. And you go, all right, but of the two, you and them, who's more reliable? Whose vision is closer to reality? Yours? That's covered by layers of acquired prejudice and misconception. You know who you really are and what your future potential is? Or they who are dealing with you as so-and-so Krishna Das or Radha Dasi? They say that you have this bright future prospect as an eternal servitor in the upper world, in the spiritual world, in the spiritual reality. And you're saying you know yourself very well in this limited temporal existence when even by scientific standards we know will vanish as we know it. And if someone comes along and goes, no, everything will be reduced to whatever. It's not going to be the way it is now. You know, if you try to get into some thing about, well, and on an energy potential, like, don't even go there. All of this stuff will disintegrate sooner or later. So all the placement within it, because it's all created from it's generated by karma, karmic circumstance. It's the karmic outcome of mundane tendencies. So there's that identity, and we can say, all right, it's real, relatively speaking. But that's not how Guru and Vaishnava are seeing us, and thank the Lord. They're seeing us in terms of our serving potential. So then I thought, oh, okay. So my relative perspective about myself has some legitimacy, but their vision of my spiritual potential is reality. Guru Maharaj says we learn from Einstein and all of his theories. We extract from there that reality is a thing plus its potential. If something is not realizing or activated in terms of its potential, to a certain degree, it's not real. Right? Here's a microphone. When it's recording, it's realizing its potential. When it's not recording, when it's not recording, its potential is innate, intrinsic, or another word, you know, held in abeyance. It's, if someone else can think of a better word, right? It's latent. If you remove the current from it and all that, even its latent potential is practically gone. Right? So it's not real. It's real when it's latent potential is invoked and it's recording and it's transmitting. So in a similar way, Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami, Jive Swaropai Krishnara Nityadas. When Sanatan said, Ke ami kene amai jarita vitroi, who am I and why am I suffering here? I don't want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. Saying, I don't get it. I don't want to suffer. I want to be happy. I don't want to be in ignorance. I want to know. I don't want to die. I want to live. This is not just a spiritual thing. Across the board, everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to find love. Everybody wants affection. Everybody wants to live a meaningful, purposeful existence. And Sanatan's saying, but who am I? And why am I suffering here? Jarita Petroi means from the threefold miseries. Adidevik, Adiatmak, Adibhotik. Self-induced miseries, miseries that are induced by other people, and Adidevik, nature. What they used to write in insurance policies in America, they say, we covered this, that, and the other thing, but not acts of God. That means tornado, tsunami, earthquake, etc. Not covered. You look in fine print, not covered. If the nuclear reactor melts down, we don't cover that. You know, it's like there in the book. Right? So, and what is Mahaprabhu's answer is very interesting. He says, you are the eternal servant of Krishna. I mean, you say, well, that's just so simple. Everybody knows that, right? Is that really the answer? What did he really say? No, that's what he said. He said, Jive Swarupai, the Swarup. By using that word, he means to say, there are other misconceived identities you have. It's not really you. And that's why you're suffering. You forgot Krishna. Remember rule number one? You know, sometimes you read some stuff and they go, if you forget this, refer to rule number one. Well, rule number one was always remember Krishna and never forget him. He's saying, the reason you're suffering, you forgot Krishna. Well, what does that mean? He said, well, who is Krishna then? What do you mean? You mean because I forgot this one person, I'm unhappy or suffering? You know, that sounds like something your girlfriend would say, right? The reason you're having, you know, is you forgot who is number one, you know. Is it that kind of a thing? No, then we'll say, who is your girlfriend and who is Krishna? So Krishna, who is your girlfriend? We're not going to answer that question. Or who is your boyfriend? That is a very deep subject matter. Or who's your mama? Who's your dad? We can't answer that. That is just so deep and profound that right now our supercomputers are busy Googling that, trying to answer that question. And maybe you'll have to refer yourself to the Canterbury Tales to really answer it, right? But anyway, when Mahaprabhu says that to Sanatana Goswami, you've forgotten your relationship with Krishna, then we'll say, well, who is Krishna? His ecstasy personified. You're going, why am I suffering? You forgot. You have a relationship with ecstasy personified. Why am I chasing after the phantasmagoria of mundane beauty? You forgot Krishna. He's beauty personified. He's beauty personified, ecstasy personified, beauty, charm, and sweetness. Everything you could ever dream of, imagine, and want, and beyond that, and you have an intimate relationship with that person. Let's talk about our relationship. Sambandhagyan. Let's talk about our relationship. You are the eternal servant of Krishna. Forgetting that, you think you're meant to do other things. You think you're meant to be, you know, the Lord of all I survey. Like Guru Maharaj, you knew so many, like, you get educated listening to him about literature. You say, Alexander Selkirk. I mean, Alexander Selkirk, you know. He was, moored on an island, and And then he wrote later. Daniel Defoe wrote one book called "You've Heard of Friday." And you're like, wow, he's educating me in English literature. He wrote one book called Robinson Crusoe, and it was And you're going like, Robinson Crusoe. You're talking about Robinson Crusoe and Krishna consciousness in the same breath? That's Guru Maharaj. Yes. And he's saying, so when Alexander Selkirk, who's, this story is based upon his sea journeys, when he's moored on this island, the expression comes out, I'm the Lord of all I survey. Suddenly, Robinson Crusoe, Alexander Selkirk is... Ishwaroham aham bogi siddhovam balavan sukhi. It's Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna's doing impersonations. Right? You can imagine if Krishna does an impersonation, it's pretty good, like accurate. So what is he? Who's he impersonating? A materialist. So in the Gita, in the middle of the conversation, Krishna starts impersonating a material person to Arjuna. And Krishna says, material people, what do they say? Ishwaroham aham bogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. It even rhymes. What does it mean? Ishwaroham, I'm the controller. I'm the Lord of all I survey. Ishwaroham aham bogi, I'm the enjoyer. Siddhoham, I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. Balavan sukhi. Does it get any better than this? So then I thought, whatever it is I think about myself, whatever it is I've realized about this, I believe in Gurudev and Guru Maharaj. And if they say I'm Bhakti Sudhir Goswami, or they say you're Krishna Das or Radha Dasi, and you have a bright future that's beyond what you can imagine, I believe them. And I really believe them. And actually believing in what they say is your prospect or potential, that's the path to liberation out of this misconceived existence and misconceived identity, is believing in their version of who you are and what your potential is. So sometimes Srila Gurudev, somebody would do something wrong, maybe even me. And he would say, he'd say, my fault. It's a classic Gurudev thing. My fault is I believe everyone. Right? And I would say, your fault is you believe in everyone. Say, yes, Maharaj, this is a fault I have, a very deep fault, is that I believe in everyone. But this, it sounded very simple. Anything Gurudev says like that, he's been working on this for 50 or 60, 70. It's, you can understand, it's well thought out. It's not a flip remark. It's something, it's from his, the deep heart's core, as the poet says, that line, from the deep heart's core. And I would say, Maharaj, that is not a fault. That is one of your glorious qualities or attributes, is that you believe in everyone, including me and all my brothers and sisters. This is how we're all being maintained, is you believe in us. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. At times we will struggle, fall down, go down, and so many things. But what will revive us, keep us alive, bring us back to the life, is that the Vaishnavas believe in us. And we'll say, well, if they believe in us and they're dear to Krishna, then it has to be. Sooner or later, today or tomorrow, what they want will happen. We're told with Srila Gurudev, Srila Keshava Maharaj and others said, he's what they call Satyabak, Satya, what he says will become true. If he says something, it must become true. They were astonished to see this at different times. So what I mean to say, if he and Srila Guru Maharaj, they believed in this and said, you have this bright future and prospect in Krishna consciousness, it's infinitely beyond what you can conceive at present. And they're bowing their heads to that notion of yourself and its reality plus its potential. It's you with the full serving capacity activated. Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, eternal servant of Krishna, and which is a general thing. What does that mean and all of its implications? He said that you have the prospect of a life of love with Krishna and the upper world and the spiritual world. Then it must come true. And where's the tipping point in all of this? Then Gyane Prayasamudapasanamanta Eva Jivanti San Mukharitam Bhavadi Yavartam Stane Stita Srutigatam Tanuvan Manobir Ye Prayaso Jita Jito Piyasi Taistre Lokyam. Ramanandan Mahaprabhu going back, what about this? No, external. What is that? External. This, that. When he finally said, when you come in connection with a devotee of Krishna and hear from them, and the Krishna conception enters your heart, Mahaprabhu said, yeah, that I accept. That's the point. That's the tipping point. That's when it happens. And Guru Maharaj said, the experts have said, once that happens, on any level, you express a minuscule of appreciation for Krishna conception, he said, today or tomorrow, you're finished in this world. You will go to the supreme destiny. You're gone. Just like the doctors or the scientists, they'll say, when this particular virus enters the person, even on the most, you know, what is it, microscopic, germinal, whatever that level is, I can't think of it right now. I think it's microscopic, right? Even, you know, on that level, once it enters, it gets into your system. The experts will say, it's a matter of time. They'll say, well, he's not showing symptoms yet. So, I go, wait and see. Right? Not showing symptoms, bhava bhakti, not showing symptoms. But the experts say, no, the poison's already entered. It's all right. Yadanu charita lila karna piyusha biprut sakrit advana viduta dvanda dharma vinashta. Radharani says, when a drop of the topics of Krishna enters your ear, he said, you're finished. One drop of hearing about Krishna, done. And Guru Maharaj gave his example. He said, what is it like? And I was saying, where did he see this? Because it was only in like old movies or something where the guy, they have the safe. The guys are trying to open the safe, the vault or somewhere, and they can't do it. They can't get the right thing, the tumblers to go, and they've got the stuff, that, you know, they're not getting it. And then some guy comes in with some acid, and he puts a drop of this acid, and it eats through all the metals like this. It eats through all the metal, and it goes, and the door opens up, right? And there's the treasure. That's what Radharani is saying in this verse. When you put one, this nectar, it's very powerful. When one drop, the heart's covered in lead and layers of most abominable misconceptions and just layers of ego. And you put one drop of this Hari Katha, Krishna Katha substance on it, penetrates all the layer, and bidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva sankshaya. All the binding things are cut, torn to pieces, the door opens, and then the treasure comes out. Krishna Prem. So when Gurudev and Guru Maharaj turn to you and say, your future is bright, then we're dancing. That's our happiness. We think, whatever potential you say we have, I'm going to believe in that. And so I'm going to offer myself in service to your lotus feet. And whenever that comes, what you say, it doesn't matter. Whether it's today, tomorrow, when it happened, that divine substance has already entered. It must happen. It will happen. And especially by the will of the Vaishnavas. Because as Guru Maharaj would tell us, like, what could, we always hear this expression in India, Bengal, Krishna Icha. Because you'll say, well, when is this? They'll go, Krishna Icha. It means the will of Krishna. Right? But Guru Maharaj will tell us, the will of the devotees is greater than the will of Krishna. He's Bhakta Vatsala. If a devotee wants something, then Krishna will give it. And if a devotee wants you to become Krishna conscious, Krishna will give you Krishna consciousness. That's how it works. That's the only way it works, is a devotee wants you to have Krishna consciousness. Then what can Krishna do? He has to give himself. So all we need to do is connect with a devotee who wants you to be Krishna conscious. You know, well, don't you have to know this and that? And I heard you're not allowed to, you know, do this and, you know, and eat that or drink that or think this or think that. Or what about the guy sitting next to me? Is he part of the deal? Don't worry about all of that. Just be connected with a devotee who out of the generosity of their heart believes in you. Like Gurudev said, my fault is I believe in everyone. Thank you. He believes in us. And he said, but you don't know what I'm like. Don't have to, TMI, too much information. Don't have to share all that. Like you told me about our friend. Like, not necessary. Jagai madhai hoite murise papishta purishera kita hoite murise lagishta. Kaviraj Goswami saying, from my point of view, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai and lower than the worm in the stool. Right. And he said, but what I'm telling you about Mahaprabhu and Krishna, there's nothing higher than this. So there may be nothing lower than me, but there's nothing higher than this. And even someone as low as me who comes in connection with something as high as this is going to realize the lotus of their good fortune. Ahang bhakta paradino yasvan tantra ivadvija. Krishna says, I'm independent, but in the presence of devotion, I forget myself. We're told, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Krishna said, in the presence of devotion, I forget that I'm the supreme controller. And I come under the control of the devotee. Asraya loya bhaje tare Krishna nahi tyaje akarane marane get whatever. Nartam Thakur saying, so the strategy of devotees is take shelter of a devotee. Then you get Krishna as the outcome of that. Hare Krishna. But before you say that, is it like a nice one? Okay. I'm only taking nice questions right now. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Asking you what you can say, what do you think about this expression of Sarasvati Thakur? I am incapable of expressing myself in an articulate language.
An articulate language?
Yes. I'm incapable to expressing myself in an articulate.
When did he say that? All right, my answer to that is he's the most articulate person who ever walked the face of the earth. So if he said that, it can only be construed as a statement of humility.
He said in his letters.
I'm saying it is that shows you his humility. Guru Maharaj is mining the treasury of his articulate expressions of Krishna consciousness. They're so precise to the extreme degree. So in his humility, just like we'll say, Kaviraj Goswami, we're told, great Charitamrita says, the greatest literature to ever see the light of day, Guru Maharaj said, in all time, all space, and all creations. And Srila Kaviraj Goswami will describe some pastime of Mahaprabhu, and it's the most beautiful, incredible, inconceivable thing you've ever heard. And what he will say at the end, forgive me for what I just said was an aparad compared to what it really is. That's Vaishnava humility. Guru Maharaj is expressing the end of the Sharanagati, where Bhaktivinoda is expressing what are the effects of Krishna Nam upon the heart. You know, where the eyes are flooding with tears, out of the heart. You chant Krishna Nam, and out of the heart comes this mysterious form, color, and figure, and it's Krishna, and he takes me as this unbelievable description of what is taking Krishna Nam. After Guru Maharaj has expressed that, and we put it in the Search for Sri Krishna, it's called, I think it's called Nectar of the Holy Name, that chapter. Anyway, at the end of it, Guru Maharaj said, everyone stunned in silence. And Guru Maharaj said, what I just expressed is bhakya aparad, means like explanation aparad. So that's as I've told before, this is the way you measure Vaishnavism, is in the inverse, negativity. The depth of negativity is the outcome of positive penetration. So humility, it's called humility. Hare Krishna.